This is 1A. I'm Todd Zwillick in Washington, in for Joshua Johnson today. What happens when we use the present to reckon with the past? The award-winning podcast Buried Truths explores that question by looking at cases of violence in the South motivated by racism that went cold. That's something we plan to talk about today. But before we get to the violence of the past, let's talk about some of the motivations behind a more recent act of hate. On Saturday, an armed man entered the Chabad Poe Synagogue outside of San Diego, shooting several people and leaving one person dead. Before the shooter attacked Jews in their place of worship, he targeted them in writing and online using the message board 8chan. How much do we know about 8chan and the people who use it and the threats that are sometimes made there? With me to talk about 8chan and online radicalization is Will Sommer. He's an internet tech reporter at The Daily Beast, and he's a creator of the Wright Richter newsletter. Will, it's great to have you back on 1A.
Thanks for having me.
So what is 8chan? It's a message board online. What is it?
Sure. So it's sort of the worst of the worst of the internet, if you can imagine that. It's a message board that's basically totally unmoderated. So it attracts all kinds of vile subcultures, from neo-Nazis to pedophiles. It's one of the worst places you could go. And they organize all these harassment attacks against the rest of the internet, basically. So bad folks.
8chan. I've heard of 4chan. Are these places fundamentally different, or two versions of the same thing?
So they're similar in terms of their technology. They're both forums that started with images, were based around anime. 8chan is basically where the people who were too bad to continue on 4chan went to after they were kicked out of 4chan. So if you can imagine how bad 4chan is, and then they said, okay, you gotta go. So that's who ends up on 8chan.
Oh, I did not realize that anybody had actually been removed from 4chan.
Yeah.
I thought that that was unmoderated as well. But you're saying there are people that even the controllers of 4chan consider too incendiary.
Right. Like during the height of Gamergate, for example, a few years back, there was a big kind of purge of 4chan, and then all those people ended up on 8chan and sort of made an even more toxic environment.
And what about 8chan's public image, if they have one? Are they totally in the shadows, or are they out there and proud to be this home for the people who can't find a place anywhere else on the internet?
So part of the difficulty in terms of policing 8chan is its ownership structure is very vague. It's owned by a former military U.S. military veteran named Jim Watkins. He's based somewhere in Southeast Asia. We know he owns property in the Philippines, so it's probably based there. But it's very vague and kind of hazy, the decisions about it. I mean, he seems at times to kind of relish this real vile reputation that they have.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the speech that's on 8chan and the role it's played, at least as a host, to people involved in recent shootings at places of worship and other acts of violence. What have those people learned, heard, responded to? What's the soup like on 8chan? What are they talking about, and what are they posting?
So there are all kinds of different boards on 8chan. And so specifically the issue here is the / poll board, which is where essentially neo-Nazis, white supremacists gather and sort of encourage one another and radicalize other people who are on 8chan. So in this case, we've seen two times now that a shooting has been announced on 8chan, the New Zealand mosque shootings, as well as now the Poe synagogue shooting.
Does that mean it's a go-to place for people who want to announce murderous intent with ideological coloring to it?
I think it's certainly becoming that way. And, the people on 8chan are generally, they're a receptive audience, essentially. I mean, these guys, when these posts go up and they say, hey, I'm going to be live streaming this on Facebook, everyone gets excited and they distribute the manifestos or the statements and the video as widely as they can.
Now, what about the antecedent to these crimes? Evidence that, for instance, shooter in New Zealand, shooter in San Diego, and others, white nationalists who've perpetrated violence, were they networking on 8chan ahead of time? Were they steeped in this language and learning from others about their ideological leanings?
Because 8chan is anonymous, it's difficult to tie individual posts to one another. That said, I mean, we can see in the statements they posted before the shootings, they're rife with references to 8chan culture, this meme, inside joke, anti-Semitic, racist culture. So it certainly seems as though this wasn't someone who said, okay, I'm going to go on 8chan for the first time and announce this shooting. It seems like someone who was very familiar with 8chan.
And so remind us again of the role during the shootings. The New Zealand shooter posted on 8chan, this is what I'm going to do. Other people on that forum / poll celebrated, cheered, spurred him on, right? Did that happen in San Diego?
Absolutely. You know, it's part of the difficulty of policing 8chan is that so often people are basically posting fake threats. And so in this case, people said, you know, oh, you're not going to do it. You're just this is big talk, essentially. And they say, you know, really go do it, you know, whatever. And then, of course, you know, when it actually does happen, they say, you know, oh, wow, you know, someone's really doing it.
Right. And that leads to the question of how serious these discussions are online. I mean, I guess they're not serious until they are.
Right, exactly. I mean, a lot of these people, I think, would say they're just being edgy online or they're being trolls. And of course, you know, what we've seen is, you know, the vast majority of them are not taking up action. But, you know, often these kind of what they would describe as, you know, ironic racism or jokes, we've seen this become violent in real life.
We got a couple of comments from listeners in on this conversation. Dave on Facebook says 4chan and 8chan have been a hive of villainy for their entire time of existing. No surprises here. And William has this comment on Facebook. People who are attracted to both 8chan and 4chan are there for various reasons. Most of it is innocent, helpful. Even other boards need a wide berth. There are boards for DIY, boards for LGBT art, history. You can't simply look at 8chan or 4chan and think the whole thing is like slash poll. Now, Will, is that the case that most of 8chan is regular people having regular conversations and there's a corner of it that has attracted neo-Nazis?
So I would say in the case of 4chan, there are different forums devoted to like fitness and fashion, stuff like that. But the fact that people are, I mean, there are a lot of other places on the internet where you can do that too, right? I mean, specifically with 4chan and much more so 8chan, the reason people end up on these forums is because they want to push the boundaries. They want to say racist stuff, even if you're on the fitness forum. So, I mean, the fitness forum, for example, is like overwhelmed with Nazi imagery. So it's really not just poll, especially in the case of 8chan.
The fitness forum is overwhelmed with not. You're saying the whole thing is infected?
Certainly in the case of 8chan, yeah.
Uh-huh. So if there's an LGBT art forum, it doesn't mean that every single sub forum is infected necessarily, but you're saying the overall environment has attracted the worst of the worst?
That's exactly right. I mean, 8chan essentially wouldn't exist if it didn't just offer people an environment that's completely unmoderated. And so that's what you're going to attract to the entire website.
And so I hear what you're saying. And at the same time, I know this is coming, Will, because you get this question all the time. Is it fair to single out 8chan in this way? I mean, some people would argue that it's like blaming the square where neo-Nazis come to chant. Neo-Nazis are bad. What they have to say is bad. The place where they come is sort of irrelevant.
Well, you know, I would say specifically in the case of 8chan, the decision they've made to essentially not moderate any comments has created this soup that really encourages people to commit this violence. And, you know, whether this, I don't know what the solution is, you know, I mean, frankly, logistically, it just seems very hard to shut down 8chan because it's based abroad. But, you know, the 8chan moderators claim that they really are not responsible for anything that happens on the site. I think in 2019 is just not a very viable one.
Okay, they're not responsible for anything that happens on the site, but do they care? I mean, do they feel any sense of responsibility or suggest that they even care?
Currently, no. I mean, they said after this most recent shooting, they said, you know, this is on the media for, you know, mentioning that the statement is on 8chan. It's not our fault that people are finding out about it.
Not our fault. What about law enforcement? You said that many of the posts are anonymous. That poses some challenges. What is the FBI or counterterrorism organizations in this country, what have they said about 8chan and their ability to do they police it? Do they hang out there anonymously?
Yeah, so certainly there are domestic terrorism experts who are hanging out on 8chan and keeping an eye on people. The question is, I think, how seriously the federal government is taking the risk of white nationalist terrorism. I mean, I think, you know, we saw the Department of Homeland Security defunded an effort that was opposed to white nationalist radicalization, for example. So, you know, I mean, this is certainly on, you know, if you look at Muslim terrorism or radical Muslim terrorism, the DHS and the rest of the federal government has been very strong on that. They seem to have been less interested in policing white nationalist or white supremacist terrorism.
And I don't know if there's a way to know this, if the rank and file of the FBI is less interested or if the directive has come from the top. This is not a priority.
That's a great question. I mean, we saw in the case of the violence in Charlottesville, you know, ProPublica and some other news organizations literally had to ID these people who were on video beating people up before the FBI took any action.
So, Will, what does your reporting look like? I would guess you spend a lot of time on 8chan, do you?
I do.
Can you stand it?
You know, I for whatever reason, I have a high tolerance for this kind of stuff, just in terms of consuming it. You know, I have a whole lot of sites that, you know, I go to. And, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, 8chan is not the only site we've seen mass shootings announced on. Gab, the alt-right Twitter rival, you know, the Pittsburgh shooting was announced there. So, you know, unfortunately, this problem is not limited to 8chan.
Not limited to 8chan. Law enforcement's involved. But, you know, I've always had this question when I read your stories. I know you have a high tolerance for it. Have you been on 8chan and seen talk, banter, even plans from people that have led you to think something bad is going to happen? Maybe not a specific crime, but say, this is bad and somebody's going to get hurt?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're egging one another on. They're idolizing the people who do commit these crimes. I mean, they imagine these mass shooters as saints or heroes. So, you know, it's very easy to imagine, you know, a disaffected young man who's on these boards all the time saying, you know, I want to get up there as well.
Well, we're going to let you go in just a minute. Look, Will, 8chan didn't invent radicalization and they didn't invent racism, but what are they doing to foster it and amplify it?
You know, I think they're allowing this kind of talk to happen unfettered and really talk about violence. You know, other social platforms will shut down people when they're talking about violence or encouraging violence. And that's just not happening on 8chan.
Will Sommer is an internet and tech reporter for The Daily Beast. He's creator of the Wright Richter newsletter. Will, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Before we continue with the show, we have a note. Today, the Anti-Defamation League released an audit of anti-Semitic incidents for 2018. It recorded just under 1,900 acts of assault, harassment, or vandalism, slightly down from last year's total of just under 2,000. The ADL points out that among last year's, quote, near historic levels of anti-Semitism, it was the deadliest attack on Jews in U.S. history, the massacre at Tree of Life Synagogue that Will mentioned in Pittsburgh in October of 2018. 11 people died in that attack. We've included a link to that full report on the website, the1a.org. Up next, the story behind the award-winning podcast, Buried Truths. I'm Todd Zwillick. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.